It's hard. It is hard. If you ever sign up for a race and have a pacer, thank them, because it is a lot of work.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 360, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, just want to thank all of you who support the show in any number of ways, and specifically want to call out Stephen Lee, who was a guest on last week's episode of the show, who jumped on and supported the show via Patreon. So he's buying a cup of coffee for me every month, and it's very much appreciated. And literally, that makes a difference. You know, if everybody chips in a couple bucks, which is, you know, the equivalent of a cup of coffee per month, we can do some crazy things with this show. So it's much appreciated. And if that's not your thing, if you can't support the show financially, there's a whole host of other ways. Just head over to dizruns.com/support, and there's a whole host of options. Shout out to Nora, who included my show on a list of her favorite running podcasts today on her blog. That's a cool thing. That's another thing you can do to support the show. I mean, anything you can do to tell other folks about it, spread the word, become a patron, use the Amazon link. I mean, there's a whole host of things. And they, believe me, 100% sincere, they are all very much appreciated. So thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Nora. And thanks, everybody else who's done something in the past and continues to do things in the future to support the show. It means a lot. But enough about that. Let's go ahead and get into what you're here for today. And that is today's episode of the show. Hey, guys. From time to time on the show, I'll have a guest on that I really don't know that much more about than just the simple fact that they're a runner. And today is one such day. However, according to his Twitter profile, my guest today isn't afraid of breaking out the ukulele once in a while, so that little bit of insight there made me fairly confident that I have no problem chatting for the next few miles today with Mr. Ben Wachter. Thanks for joining us today, Ben, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Excellent pronunciation on the ukulele there.
Yeah, I've gotten that one wrong a few times, but every once in a while, you know, you listen to enough kind of Polynesian Jack Johnson type of music, and you figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely. It's funny living up here in Richmond, and especially in the rural areas, you know, when you play, people are like, that's a ukulele, and it's all kinds of pronunciations for it. So,
yeah, definitely.
It's interesting.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And, you know, like I said, I've gotten it wrong enough times that I can't cast too much judgment. But, guys, if you haven't connected with Ben yet, he's on the Twitter and on the Instagram. You can check him out there. His handle is at B Wachter, and that's you'll never probably spell it right unless you know how to do it. So it's BWACHTER70. And I'll have those links and anything else, you know, links to anything else that we talk about today that makes sense in the show notes for this episode, just like I always do. And this episode is dizruns.com/360. So, Ben, the way we always start off on the show is with a simple and straightforward question that sometimes is simple to answer, and sometimes it's a little bit of a head scratcher. And I know you've raced a bunch of different distances, so I don't know. It may be a head scratcher for you, but it may be a simple answer anyway. But that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Good question. And that's, you know, I've listened to the podcast for a long time, and every time you ask this question, I always ask myself this question. And I've never come up with the same answer twice, I think. You know, starting out, I pretty much started out like every average runner, you know, running a local 5K or a charity event or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, work-related or family-related. But I have to say my favorite right now is the marathon. Mm-hmm. 5Ks to me have gotten to, I go out too fast. Mm-hmm. I know I go out too fast. I always do it. A lot of us are guilty of it. And so I've kind of backed off on those some. 10Ks are a lot of fun, but where I've gotten running into marathons more, the 10K almost feels like a warm-up now. Mm-hmm. Half marathons, I've only done 3 half marathons in my life, so I really don't have enough experience with them. The 3 I've done The first one I ever did, it was 97 degrees outside, so I was not pleased with that. it was in August up here in Virginia. The second one was pouring. It had rained almost an inch and a half, and they went ahead and had it anyway. So, you know, you're just like a drowned rat when you get finished.
Yeah.
So I've not had good experiences with half marathons. So definitely, I don't know if it's the distance in me or something, but so I tend to shy away from those. But I would say the marathon. It's, you know, if you go out, you go out at a comfortable pace, you talk with people, there's people cheering you on. It's the environment, the attitude, the experience, it just makes it all worthwhile.
Mm. You say you know, quote unquote, but whatever, you quote unquote only done three half marathons. How many marathons have you done if only is three?
I have done, actually I've only done three marathons also.
Okay.
I did, you know, I went out my first year running, I did a couple of 5Ks, a couple of 10Ks. I'm like, oh, I can do, you know, go a little bit further. I did my very first marathon, and it was a North Face Endurance Challenge up in Washington, D.C. I finished with scraped back, scraped knees, scraped elbows, blisters, and knee pain for 6 months. So,
goodness.
But after doing that, I was like, you know, this might be easier to do on the road. So since then, I've done two other marathons. I've done Richmond Marathon the last 2 years. And I've been a pacer at those marathons. So it's definitely been a different experience and made me appreciate it more. Just talking with people, what they go through training for this, for their first marathon, or a lot of these people have never, you know, never ran past 20 miles, or they've never done, you know, went past a half marathon. They're like, I'm going to do a marathon. So it's been inspiring to be a part of.
All right. I definitely want to circle back to the pacing stuff, because I don't know that I've ever... I mean, I'm sure I've talked to somebody that's paced a race at some point, but nothing really pops to mind. So I definitely want to get that perspective. But before we get to that point, what you know, you said kind of the average start of running, you know, do a 5K here, 5K there type of thing. At what point when you were dabbling in it for, like you said, for different organizations, work or you know, charity or whatever, at what point did you start getting hooked to where it was like, all right, like I'm gonna have to, you know, kind of pursue this. I'm gonna have to keep running regularly now.
I think it was, I started running. It was kind of odd. I, you know, my wife and I had been married for 12, 13 years. We had a daughter, and like a typical dad, you know, it was kind of point in my life. I was working nights, wasn't eating the best. I'd put on a lot of weight. And then a good friend of mine texted me one day. He's like, I went to the doctor. My cholesterol is really high. He wants me to start running. And I was like, you know, I'll start running too. But before that, I would never have ran. I would have never gone out for a run. So just hearing him talk, you know, about his experience. And so we started running. I kept doing it. He quit doing it. So then I started looking, you know, I'd run at night when I had time, or I'd do, you know, elliptical or treadmill when I had the chance. And then I started looking at events. My wife's like, you know, why don't you try 5K or something like that? So I started looking, and I found one, a local one. It was a superhero run. So I'm like, oh, I can dress up in a costume. This would be great. It's be a lot of fun. So I ran that first one, and it was right after winter, and it was right after a particularly cold, rainy winter. So I'd done a lot of elliptical work in the house. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm knocking out miles on the elliptical, this will be nothing. You know, I'll get out here and run this thing, no problem. And I get out there, and I got 2 miles into it, and I had to walk the last, you know, 1.15 miles. And I finished, and I still finished what I thought was a good time. And I was like, I can do this better. So I immediately just got on the internet and just started looking up races.
Once you get that itch, it's hard to kick it.
It is very hard. And I'm the kind of person who I will get into something and I will go whole hog on it. And
yeah,
then I'll a couple of years later, I'll lose interest. And with running, I think the different distances and the different things I've gotten involved in through running have kept me interested in it, have kept me going. You know, I started out as a way to get healthy. I've lost 70 pounds.
Wow. Congratulations.
Since I started running. Thank you. Feel a lot better, feel a lot more self-confidence now. And it went from, I'm just going to go run with my friend because he has to I'm going to go run to lose weight, to I want to run to inspire my daughter to be more healthy, to I want to run to help people. And that's how I got into pacing. I also am an assistant coach with a 10K training team up here in Richmond. This will be my third year doing that. So it's definitely changed a lot. I'm still competitive. I still want to go out there and, you know, set my PRs and, you know, meet my goals every year, but that's kind of taken a side note to it. It's more about going out and inspiring and helping other people with it.
Gotcha. With the pacing, like I said, I definitely want to talk on that a bit more. I guess maybe I'm naive or not, certainly haven't looked into it much, but I was kind of under the impression that for the most part, you know, to be a pacer, you'd have to have run dozens of marathons and kind of be able to prove that you can hit, you know, this time. And if I heard you correctly, like basically you're, you know, had run the one marathon and then you find yourself pacing, you know, second or third time of doing the race. How did you, you know, I mean, you, like you said, you have this desire to help and to kind of give back and to support people, but how did you actually get into, you know, the actual doing of the pacing? How did that process work out?
It was, so for Richmond up here, pacing is sponsored by our local, the local Roadrunners Association Club. So, they just sent out an email to the members saying, hey, we need some spots filled for pacing for the marathon and the half marathon. And I was like, you know, I'll you know, why not? I'll do the marathon. So I, you know, emailed the director back and said, I would like to do the marathon. You know, what times do you have available? And so she looked at my racing history. Mm-hmm. And so I sent her all the links for the half marathons I'd done, the one marathon I'd done, you know, 10Ks and 5Ks. And I guess she, you know, she might have asked around with some other runners that I'd ran with in the past. And so I wound up doing my first year, I did the 5:30 pace group.
5 hours and 30 minutes, just so everybody's on.
Yes, correct. Yeah, mm-hmm. 5 hours and 30 minutes. It's about a 12-minute, 35-second pace. Mm-hmm. When I started it, my normal running pace is a lot quicker, so it was a lot to get used to. That first year, I finished, I think, 5:27.
Okay.
So, and everybody that I had paced for, that had signed up for the pace group, I had one person drop due to injury, and the other three that had signed up for 5:30 finished ahead of time. Mm. So I think them finishing ahead of time, the feedback that the director received, and my finish time showed, you know, kind of showed that, yes, you know, he can do this. He knows what his pace goal is. He can hit his pace, you know, per mile. It's hard. It is hard. If you ever sign up for a race and have a pacer, thank them, because it is a lot of work. I know, like, the faster times, when you get to like the 3 hour marathon times, the 3:30 times, a lot of those pacers will only run half a marathon, and then they'll tag out and somebody else will finish it for you. But, you know, your 4 hour, your 4:30, your 5:30s, that's usually one person running the entire time with you. And it is hard to keep that steady pace.
Gosh, I have so many questions about this. So this may end up eating up most of our time. But how much pressure do you put on yourself to, you know, like to stay consistent, to not, you know, like when it gets hard, to not slack off, because I mean other people are kind of relying on you to get them to their goal. I gotta imagine that it's gotta be stressful, to say the least.
It is. It's You go, and I really don't meet the people that have signed up for the pace group until, you know, 2 weeks. And then it's just emails back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, that first race, I kind of let the people that were running dictate how they wanted to run. And we wound up, we would run a few seconds faster than pace. And every other water stop, we would stop and walk through the water stop. So it was almost a run, walk. And everybody seemed happy with it. It was working. So I was like, you know, okay, you know, I'm here with you guys. I'll keep track of your time. You know, if you want to look at your watch, look at your watch. I'm watching the miles here. Mm-hmm. If we're ahead of time, I will, you know, I'll shout out, you know, we're 30 seconds up. If we're behind, I'm like, you know, we're 15 seconds behind. We'll pick it up for a quarter mile to get back on track. So it is hard. I am my own worst enemy, I guess. I hate to fail at stuff. I hate letting people down at things. So mm-hmm. it's definitely something I strive, and it keeps me honest. It keeps me, this year, for this year, I really worked at training at that pace mm-hmm. on my long runs. I'd break my long runs up where I would run at that pace so I could get my body, get the feel for it. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a lot of work. It's a lot of, if you're a caring person, it's definitely very rewarding mm-hmm. seeing someone cross that finish line and knowing that you helped them reach that goal. If someone doesn't, that, you know, the 1 year I had a lady pull out due to injury, I felt really bad about it. Mm-hmm. And it bothered me. And then she emailed me and she's like, you know, maybe I shouldn't have ran that half marathon 2 weeks before this. And I was like, oh, well,
maybe not. Yeah.
You know, that could do it.
You know, like you said, you talked to the folks that were in the group and kind of decided on a strategy then. Like what, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you haven't paced enough to know, or, you know, I don't know. I'll just put it out there and see where it goes. But, you know, what would you do if, say, you know, you had 3 different runners or 10 different runners or whatever, but they all wanted to do 10 different strategies as far as, you know, go slow at the beginning and have a little bit left to kick at the end versus a consistent run walk of, you know, a minute and 30 seconds or, you know, something right from the start to try to stick with it that way versus, you know, go out and try to be a few seconds ahead or whatever, you know, there's a million different strategies that you could have going into race.
Yeah.
What do you do to try to balance that as the pacer? Cause that's always been, as somebody who runs a race, you know, I'll keep a pacer, you know, like, all right, this is my goal. I'm going to keep them in mind, but I'm going to run my own race based on how I trained. You know, so as the pacer yourself, if you had a bunch of folks, how do you navigate that situation?
I think it's just getting a feel for everybody and knowing, you know, who needs that moral support, who needs me to run with them and encourage and push them. You know, my first year I had a gentleman who kind of stayed with me until about mile 20. He's like, you know, hey, do you mind if I go on ahead? I'm like, no, by all means. I'm like, you don't have to stay mm-hmm. with me. If you feel this is too slow for you or you want to go ahead, you know, go on ahead. But you just remember, if you see me or if I pass you, you'll know exactly where you are time wise.
Right.
So he kept ahead. I had 2 women the first year who kind of fed off of each other, and they're like, you know, we're going to go on ahead. And we're about halfway through. So they were like, you know, we're going to go ahead. And I'm like, all right, you know, go for it, you know, enjoy yourselves. And we caught up with them about mile 21 or 22. And I'm like, hey, you guys doing okay? And they were like, yeah, we stopped at Starbucks and got a coffee. And I'm like, all right, you know, good on you. And they were like, all right, you know, thanks for everything. Bye. And they just kept on going.
Wow.
So it really, I guess, people kind of determine for themselves how they want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I say that I'm running this pace. I'm running between, you know, this many minutes and seconds every mile. If you stay with me, you'll be able to walk through the water stops and still finish at your goal time. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep ahead of me, you know, I'll tell people, somebody's like, you know, I got to stop at the bathroom. I'm like, well, why don't you speed up? If you want to stay with the group, speed up for this half mile till you get to the, you know, the next water stop, go to the bathroom, and then you'll be there. You know, by the time you're done, if there's a line, you know, you'll probably be back together with the group. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a getting a feel for the people that you're running with, determining their wants and needs and who needs you the most as a pacer. Mm-hmm. I guess is the best thing.
Right.
Some people sign up for it just because they kind of want to know where they are at a given time instead of, you know, constantly checking their watch every mm-hmm. mile where they're at, or if they don't have their watch set for intervals because they're trying to meet a certain time goal, you know, they know that if they look back and see me, they're like, okay, that's 5:30 back there. I'm probably at 455 where I am right now. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling good. I'm just going to stay at this pace.
Gotcha. You mentioned the competitive nature that you have, and I feel like that kind of has to fly a little bit in contrast with this pacing thing, where at that point, obviously, you're not running it for yourself. You're running it for everybody else. You're trying to help everybody else as much as you can. How do you balance that on race day of you know, is it just a matter of I'm here to pace, so I'm not racing day? Is it that simple, or is there more to it?
I would like to say it's that simple. It isn't. It is a struggle. It really is. But I think it's something that I've put on myself to do this. You know, it's I'm not here for me today. I'm here for other people today. So I kind of want, you know, it's the start of the race. Every race I've ever ran, I've always gone out too fast. It keeps me honest at the start, keeping this set pace. Keeps me honest halfway through, where I'm like, all right, I just want to run for a mile or two, just at my personal pace. Mm-hmm. But I have these people that are depending on me. So it really keeps me honest. It makes me appreciate starting out. Like, I'm remembering when I started out and I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a pacer for anything like that. I would just, you know, run my best. Probably 2 years into running before I started using it, you know, thought about getting a GPS watch to kind of track my time and my mileage. So it definitely keeps you honest. It keeps you accountable. And it helps me put that competitive nature in check. Even if it's, you know, it's just, I'm like, it's just for a day. I'm not here to run for myself. I'm here to run for others. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole purpose of me being a pacer, is to run for others. So it definitely works. It helps me in a way also. It's kind of therapeutic.
Right. Here's a little bit of a leading question for you. When are you going to take the shackles off and actually race a marathon? Any plans to do that?
I'm wanting to do something this spring. Yeah. Our 10K training team starts in January, and that's a 10-week program. So April 1st is the Monument Avenue 10K up here in Richmond. So I'm looking for something either, you know, I'll just take a Saturday off and say, you know, hey, guys, we have plenty of coaches. I'm going to go run a marathon for myself. So I'm kind of looking at stuff here in Virginia. I've got, you know, two or three options. You know, one of them being the Blue Ridge Marathon up in Roanoke, which
that's a great race, but not one I would recommend racing.
Yes, I'm looking at that. I'm like, I go hiking up there. I'm like, I don't know if I want to run up this mountain.
Oh, I had a blast. I ran that. When was it? 2014. I ran Blue Ridge, and I would go back and do it again in a heartbeat. But it's a tough one, to put it mildly.
Yes, it's definitely. I go hiking up there a lot. But it's beautiful scenery, so I'm kind of drawn towards that and that challenge of it. But I'm also thinking, you know, something down towards the Virginia Beach area, maybe like Shamrock or the One City, which is in Newport News, which is on its, I think this is its third year. Something flatter, something I can really go push myself and go for that PR. Because, I mean, right now, anything faster than 5:30 will be a PR for me.
Right.
I want to push myself. I'm not trying to do, you know, I have no desire to run Boston.
Gotcha.
So I have no desire to really, you know, push myself that hard for a BQ, which I think I'm 46 years old. I think I have to get a 3:30.
Sounds about right.
Or better.
Something in that area,
To even think of submitting my name for it. So I know I won't do that. Mm-hmm. But I want to go out and, you know, finish something like 4 hours or 4.5 hours and just get out there and run.
Gotcha. You know, those races you're talking about, if memory serves, those are like March-ish races.
Yes.
Which doesn't give you a whole lot of time to make up your, like, are you, do you think, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say here, but other than, you know, with a 3 week win or a 3 month window, is that, are you close enough to marathon shape now that wouldn't be a problem?
I think so. Yes. I average on week, between 20 and 30 miles a week. Anyway, I pretty much with, you know, married, work,
right,
daughter,
with everything else in life. Yeah.
I have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings that I run. I get up at 4 AM, go run between, you know, average between 7 to 10 miles a day. Mm-hmm. So I think I would just have to start throwing my long runs in back on Saturdays,
right,
to get into that pace. But I definitely think, you know, I could do that.
Yeah, it's marathons are just such an adventure, you know, and
yes,
especially I kind of keep going back to this pacing thing. I just feel like it would be a tough, you know, I don't know, that pressure that I would put on myself of like, all right, like I can't screw this up. Like I can't screw this up. You know, like I've said several times, like I've never run what I would consider a good full marathon. Like there's always been that part where like, you know, it's just like you hit the wall or whatever metaphor you want to use, where it's like you have to stop for a couple minutes and collect your thoughts and then try to get going again. Do you ever have any of those struggles in the times that you have done the pacing?
No, I haven't. I think that's one thing about it is running at that slower pace than what I'm normal used to kind of helps me not hit that wall or not, you know, lose that focus. Mm-hmm. And then plus, you know, everybody around you, and you'll be running with people and they're like, you know, hey, can we walk through this water stop? It's like, yeah, sure. You know, we got, you know, we're, you know, you'll check your watch and check your pace guide and you're like, yeah, we're 30 seconds ahead right now. Yeah, no problem. You know, we can stop and walk for a few, you know, mm-hmm. a couple of seconds, catch your breath or walk up this hill.
Right.
Or, you know, somebody will see their family and like, you know, hey, you know, let's take a big selfie. And, plus a lot of the people that sign up for these pacing groups also are on, usually participate in some kind of training team. So you have the coaches out there every so often,
right?
You know, shouting encouragement and walking with and running with everybody, you know, encouraging everybody, make sure everybody's doing okay. You know, make sure they're on their pace. They're hydrating when they're supposed to, like they did in training. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is training. If you've trained properly for it, then you can do it.
How much of pacing, you know, as being a pacer, how much do you have to know all of the logistics of the race itself, of the course, where the, you know, I'm thinking of, and I had this thought earlier when you mentioned about, you know, run ahead to go to the bathroom, like how much do you have to know, like, all right, the porta potties are at this mile, the water stations are, you know, this one, there's a little bit longer gap between water, like how much of that logistical stuff do you have to know and then be able to obviously recall, you know, at various points throughout the race?
I think it's great to have that knowledge. And that's definitely something I drove the course beforehand. And growing up here in Richmond where the marathon is, I don't think I would go pace a marathon in another state. Mm. I mean, saying that if I was asked to, I definitely would jump at the opportunity. I would want to get there early and, you know, run parts of the course if I could, or at least drive the course so that I know, and take a map and know that, you know, the water stops like Richmond Marathon. I know the water stops are every 2 miles until you hit about mile 21 and then they're every mile. Mm. So I know, you know, we're at mile 5, there's a water stop ahead. You know, we just passed mile 20, there's a water stop ahead. I know that, you know, we're turning left here and we're going to go up a slight hill or we're going to have a slight downhill. So I think knowing that is important, so that you can tell people, because people that come in from out of town and sign up for a pacer, you're like, okay, you know, if you looked at the map and saw this stretch of road, it looks like it's flat. You know, it's a slight incline. It's a deceptive incline at like mile 15 to 18 in Richmond. Mm-hmm. So you can tell people and they're better prepared for it. So I think it's very important to know the course and the layout of the course and the nuances. You know, we have one section where you're running along the river and you come out and it's mostly uphill. But when you get to the top of that hill, you think, you know, oh, I'm out of the river valley. It's going to be okay. But it's rolling hills for the next several miles. And people think, you know, okay, we know we can pick up the pace here. I'm like, no, we don't want to pick up the pace here.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you when we can pick the pace back up if you want to pick up the pace. Hmm. So it is very important to know your course. Know where the water stops are, know what water stops have bathrooms at them, if they're alternating or anything like that, you know, and know those nuances so that your first time marathoners and your out of town marathoners, they don't burn themselves out too early, or they don't go out too hard on certain parts.
Right. I'll stop talking about the pacing stuff here in a second, but okay. I got one more question on that. What about the math side of things? How much, you know, obviously you can maybe have a printout of, you know, these are the targets, you know, these are, you know, each mile, this is where we want to be. But, how much math do you have to do as far as keeping paces right and that type of thing?
Well, I got to thank Google for that one. basically my first time pacing, I just Googled, marathon pacing, and Google filled itself in for me for a marathon pacing bracelet.
Okay.
So basically I just printed out, take Scotch tape or invisible tape and tape it and put it on my wrist beside my watch.
And then
that I have it there. Right. I know which mile, you know, where we should be at every mile. And I tell people, a lot of people will hear, you know, they'll hear the gun go off for the start, and we start in waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, we're in wave six. I'm like, don't start your watch you're using a watch until you cross the start line. Because if you go by that gun time, we're already 2 minutes off pace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we're going by our chip time. Right. And that was one big thing I think a lot of people didn't grasp, especially this year. I had a couple of first timers that, you know, they're like, oh, you know, we're starting so far back, we're going to be behind. And I'm like, no, we're not. I'm like, it's okay. I'm like, you have a chip on your bib that keeps track of your time for you.
You know, and that's one of those things I think that maybe I don't know that I would have even thought about that unless somebody asked the question, of course, because, you know, as somebody who's, you know, anybody who's run several races, especially big races where there are waves, like, you know, something you take for granted. But yeah, if you're pacing folks that maybe this is their first ever race or first, certainly, you know, big race like this, that would be something that I could see them getting, you know, oh my gosh, what are we gonna do, like in mm-hmm. have that conversation.
exactly. And that's the first time I paced, I actually bugged the director about it. I'm like, are we going by gun time or chip time, or, you know, and that, mm-hmm. that's how I found out about it. Was just, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know, what time do we go by? I don't know. So it was definitely a learning curve, I guess, is the best word for it, on how to do pacing and become a pacer. But now that I do it, I love it. It's great.
Yeah, that was kind of going to be the last bit on the pacing stuff. Is it something you think you're going to keep doing? But you say you love it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, yep. I actually paced a half marathon last spring, and that was a lot of fun.
Did the weather cooperate?
No, that was the one that everybody was waterlogged.
Okay. So shifting gears a little bit from the pacing, finally, after, you know, three quarters of the time that we're going to be chatting.
Yeah.
I appreciate your willingness to go down that route, because it's something that I've never done and certainly had questions about. You know, kind of what's the, you know, beyond what we already talked about, kind of the more immediate future of possibly racing a marathon, what does the, you know, kind of long-term future goals, plans, ambitions, like, you know, take it longer than marathons, take it off road? Do you plan to stick on the roads? What's kind of, you know, your future? Obviously impossible to predict exactly, but what do you paint the picture of at this point looking forward?
I'm thinking I've always had one goal, since my second year of running, and that's to break 20 minutes at a 5K.
Mm.
Every year I tell myself I'm going to do it. Even if it's 1959, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be happy with that. Excuse me. This year and last year, I kind of had some injuries kind of floating in and out. Had some knee pains, some hip problems. So I want to get back and focus on that. And maybe that will be a fall goal.
Mm.
Kind of in between training for the next pacing
mm-hmm.
marathon I do. But I, you know, I kind of know what I need to do for that. I just have to adjust my training to do that.
How close are you to the 20 minute mark?
I just ran a 5K this Sunday just passed, which would be December, middle of December.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished 23 minutes and some seconds. Mm. So, I've got some work to do.
Right.
My PR for 5K is 20 minutes and 12 seconds.
Mm.
So I know I can do it.
Right.
I know in my head I can do it. And I think that's a lot of things about running is you do that 5K and you're like, oh, you know, I can do a 5K. That's great. You know, can I do a 10K? I don't know. It's only two 5Ks together. You mm-hmm. can do it. And you do that 10K and you're like, oh, well, I just finished half marathon. I can do a half marathon now. And you build up like that. So my white whale right now is the 50K. And I've tried twice. Both times I've gotten to about mile 26 and had to drop. But both times I have not trained properly for it. My first time, I thought I'd got my mileage in like I wanted. I didn't. I didn't dress appropriately because it was about 20 degrees when we ran it. So that was really my fault. I didn't train right. I wasn't prepared. The second one I tried was 7 days after running the Richmond Marathon. And I thought, you know, I'm running this marathon. I'm running it at an easy pace, not my normal pace. I got a week to rest up. I should be great for this. And I got to like 26 miles and my knees and my legs were just like, you know what? We're done. Your brain thinks you're going to go on, but we're not moving anymore. So I had to drop. So that's been my white whale. That's another goal, is to finish a 50K. I'm kind of intrigued with relays. We have a lot of relay races up here.
Like Ragnar type of relays? Or shorter
Well,
stuff?
Ragnar would be fun. But we have something up here called the Colonial 200, which basically you're racing from Charlottesville, Virginia to Williamsburg, Virginia. Okay. Which is about 200 miles, and it's a relay race. It's done over, I think, almost 48 hours. So you'll run, you know, your first leg will be 8 miles, and then somebody else will run 8 or 9 miles, and it's just, you just keep taking turns like that. There's another one called the Blue Ridge Relay that runs from Virginia to North Carolina along the Blue Ridge Parkway. So I'm kind of intrigued by that, of that whole team effort. To complete a much larger goal.
That would be something that I could see that being fun. It'd be different, of course, you know, like that, that consistent running of 6 or 8 or 10 miles, you know, multiple times, over the course of a couple of days. But I could see that being a lot of fun if you had a good group of people that you were with.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing, is getting in with a good group and people you know and people that you can sit in a van with for, you know, 48 hours and catch little naps here and there in between your shifts. I know my dad, actually, he used to run, and he did a 24-hour relay race sort of similar to that, but they were actually in a park. So they had a tent set up and they had a fire going, and they could if they wanted something to eat, they could cook up a little something to eat and just take turns running for 24 hours. So it's definitely something I would like to do, and something I'm kind of looking into.
Right.
But definitely my 5K goal and my 50K are my two big goals that I want to achieve.
Gotcha. Well, I have no words of advice for you on the 50K, although that might be that's something that probably, and gosh, I hate to keep.
I've heard you talking about it.
It's it might be happening. It probably is going to be like to the point where I've like actually looked at a couple races and been like, that one maybe like, so it'll happen sooner, quite possibly sooner rather than later.
Definitely.
But I'm not going to put my cart quite in front of the horse just yet, but it's coming. So
I don't think you'll do one down in Florida. That's probably a little rough down there.
I might, but it have to, I mean, because it'll be flat, you know, I won't have to worry about crazy hills and mountains and things like that. But like the window is basically, you know, like now, you know, middle of December, or maybe into November a little bit, until like, you know, the middle of March, and then that's about it.
Yep.
Otherwise it starts getting a little too hot, but we'll see. Keep your ears peeled, but there might be an announcement coming soon about that. We'll see. Shifting gears away from the running just a little bit, since we mentioned the ukulele at the beginning and the outset there, and it's in the Twitter profile. Where did you pick up or decide to dabble in the ukulele a little bit? Because that's something that, again, I've always kind of had that thought, like, you know, I dabble in the bass guitar a little bit have dabbled in the you know, acoustic, you know, is the 6-string guitar a little bit, but never tried my luck at a ukulele. But it's always been something that, like, you know, one of those, like, if I ever go, or when, I guess, when I go to Hawaii, I'm going to get an authentic, real ukulele and figure it out. But, you know, where did you get started with that little instrument?
I started the ukulele. My family's always been musically inclined. My father played banjo. My grandfather played guitar. When I was younger, like early teens, I played fiddle. And then I dropped fiddle. I started playing the mandolin. And I kind of would, you know, pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down. And then say my daughter was probably about 5 years old, and I was like, you know, I need something to kind of do, you know, hobby wise to kind of keep my mind occupied. So I picked up the mandolin again. And playing it, I noticed I kind of started developing some bad habits. And then I was, you know, reading something, and I was like, you know, mandolin is 8 strings, but they're in 4 sets. So you're almost playing a 4-stringed instrument. And I'm like, oh, ukulele is 4 strings. And I started looking at it, and ukulele is a lot simpler to play. And I'm sure a lot of people will jump on me for saying this, but really when you look at something like mandolin and you look at playing like a bluegrass style mandolin, like I was, it is difficult. You know, holding such a small instrument and holding your fingers in a certain way and the chord patterns. Ukulele, it's a lot easier to learn. And it's, I'll use an analogy. I used to be a snowboard instructor back in the 90s before I got married. And the analogy was, snowboarding is easier to learn than skiing, but harder to do. And ukulele was the same way. It was easier to learn because you can learn some simple chord patterns, you know, like, and barely move your fingers at all on the neck, and you're playing songs, and that ease and that simplicity kind of appealed to me. And then I, you know, delved deeper and deeper into it and realized, you know, it opened up a whole new world of playing and different styles. But, you know, I'll kind of, you know, I'll pick it up from time to time, and I've kind of taken a break now because I was starting to develop some bad habits. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to take a break, kind of, you know, empty my mind and, you know, start fresh so that I don't continue those bad habits. I'll start fresh with good habits. And then I'm a shy person. I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to people. But ukulele, we have a group up here that meets once a month. And it's just going to that group, and they're like, you know, you're going to bring music, and you're going to get up here, and you're going to share, and you're going to play a song in front of people. And that really helped me get over this fear of talking to people in public and public speaking and thing and performing in public like that. So it was fun to do. I enjoyed it, but it was very therapeutic or cathartic in that it helped me get over this fear I have.
Well, and I mean, shoot, like, as somebody who, like I said, I've dabbled in different instruments, but I've never been good at any of them. But boy, I mean, music is just something that brings everybody together. So, you know, like, whether it helps to bring you out of your shell or just bring different people together that maybe would never have, you know, had a connection, but now, you know, music can do that. So that's awesome that kind of helped you to, you know, beyond just the community aspect, but also to have a little more kind. That's fantastic.
And I think in doing that, I probably never, you know, if it hadn't been for playing ukulele and getting up and performing in front of people, I probably never would have started, you know, helping coach the training, you know, 10K training team, or I probably never would have, and the thought never would enter my mind of being a pacer.
Right.
But in doing that through music, it kind of, you know, opened the shell up, you know, that I'd put around me and made me more open towards other people.
Gotcha. Well, Ben, as we're getting close to wrapping up, you know, you've listened to the show enough that you know what is coming. The old philosophical question here, you know, and as I always tell everybody, no right answer, no wrong answer, just your answer. Whether it's long and you know, well versed and takes us 10 or 15 minutes to get through, or whether it's 2 or 3 words, it's all good and it's all appreciated. What I'd love to ask you you know, at this point in your life, whether, you know, between the pacing, between, you know, chasing the 50K and looking ahead towards some running goals that, you know, kind of eluded you in the past and you know, the willingness to help out and your competitive nature, kind of, you know, everything that we've talked about today, kind of, you know, when you think of yourself or when someone thinks of Ben the runner, when you think of yourself as a runner, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you if I were to ask you, or maybe I guess that is what I'm asking you is a philosophical question, you know, what does being a runner mean to you?
I think being a runner to me personally means that I am holding myself accountable. It's like right now it's 32 degrees in Richmond. tomorrow it's going to be 14, but I'm going to get up and go running. Mm. And it's very easy for me to say, oh, it's 14 degrees. I'm not going out in this crap. But it's held me accountable to know that I can set a goal. I can reach that goal. I can achieve that goal. And then I can beat that goal. Mm. It's, I think, before I started running, you know, I was smoking, I was drinking, and I mean, I still drink a beer on occasion. Don't get me wrong, but it's kind of made me realize that I wasn't taking care of myself. Mm. So it's brought me a sense of purpose. It's brought me a sense of well-being. And it's brought me a sense of peace. You know, you get out there on a run and your mind starts to wander, and it's just, it's really calming. I've probably written about 5 or 6 books in my head during runs.
When are you going to write one on paper now?
I don't know. I probably should. I've probably written a couple of movie scripts in my head. You know, you just get out there and your mind just starts wandering, and it really, you know, after the stress of a day or hard night, or, you know, a lot of problems, you just get out there and run and just know everything's going to be better the next day.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. And I'm not, as per usual, I'm not even going to try to add to it, because it's perfect just the way you said it. So, again, guys, if you want to connect with Ben, if you haven't done so already, on the Twitter and on the Instagram, it's BWACHTER, BWACHTER. The number 70. And I'll have those links and links to anything else we talked about, to the Richmond Marathon, to the Monument 10K that he helps coach, all those kind of good links, dizruns.com/360. So, Ben, thank you. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for being willing to share a little bit and kind of get past some of those. You know, I'm an introvert too, which may not make sense as a podcaster, but, you know, I can hide behind my microphone most of the time and you know, be by myself. But I appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of your story. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, and looking forward to staying in touch, and nothing but the best going forward.
Thank you very much, Diz.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed this conversation between Ben and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this particular conversation. What was your biggest takeaway? For me, I mean, I think it was probably clear what drew my attention most in this episode, and that was all of the information that Ben shared about pacing. I don't know that I necessarily have one specific takeaway, other than it's something I probably need to do. Like I said, I told Ben, you know, I was thinking about it. I have thought about it. I'm a little hesitant. You know, I don't want to screw something up. I don't want to have a terrible day and impact someone's race negatively by not being able to do my job and maintain the pace that I'm supposed to do. But maybe it's time to stop living in fear. You know, maybe it's time to step out of the comfort zone a little bit and give it a shot and see what happens. And maybe that means starting with a half marathon or something like that, that I'm fairly comfortable running without issue before diving into the deep end and pacing marathons like Ben has done. But that's crazy to me. That's basically his marathon experience is pacing marathons, but it's awesome, and he's obviously done a good job and been able to do it well. So I appreciated learning about that, and I hope that you did as well. But as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your takeaway? What was the thing that you enjoyed most about our conversation? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/360. And leave a comment there. And that way other folks can hear what stood out to you. What was your takeaway? What was your moment that you enjoyed? And add to it and learn from it. And, you know, we can just get a conversation going that way as well. So with that, thanks again to Steven for jumping on board as a new patron of the show. And you know, if you want to show your support that way or any of the myriad of ways that you can want to support the show, dizruns.com/support. All the links are there and all the things you can do. And believe me, everything is very much appreciated. So that's it for today, guys. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to the show. And hope that you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it. And again, let me know what your thoughts are. So until next time, take care of yourselves, and we'll talk soon. Take care, guys.